About 10 years ago, a New Jersey woman named Maggie Joyne took a gap year from college to backpack, and one of the places she stopped was in Nepal. There she wound up using her babysitting savings, $5,000, to change the lives of hundreds of Nepalese women and children. Maggie bought land and worked with the community to build a school, a women's center, and the Kopalek Valley Children's Home. Joins Maggie's Blink Now Foundation supports all those efforts. For her selfless work, Maggie Joyne was named 2015 CNN Hero of the Year. Award-winning director Jeremy Powell Regenbaugh tells Maggie's story in a film titled Between the Mountain and the Sky. The Mountain Film World Premiere brings Jeremy, Maggie, and other special guests to Telluride from Nepal over Memorial Weekend, May 23rd to May 27th. The film is all about finding hope in the darkest times, which our world needs now more than ever, Jeremy once said. This is Susan Vibrock, Telluride Inside and Out, delighted to be speaking with Jeremy Power Regenbaugh. And Jeremy, thanks very much for joining me.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So, generally speaking, bios start your life story at age 20 when you co-founded the Lab magazine, but clearly you did not spring full-grown out of your mother's head. So what in early life triggered your creative processes?
I grew up in northern Canada, very far away from anything that you could call the movie biz. I was on a little farm, hours from any city, so the idea of like making a living in the movie industry never really even existed. But I had amazing parents who just let us kind of run wild and free and explore our imagination. And I lucked out. I had some good teachers along the way who gave me the option of, would you like to write an essay or would you like to make a film? And I always chose make a film because essays were not my forte at that time in my life. So from there, I was really into like extreme sports, snowboarding and skateboarding. And I found out early that I was not going to be a professional level of it. But I had a lot of friends who were really good. And so I became the filmmaker of the crew. And so that's kind of how I learned how to film and photograph and that. And then my sister was a photographer and my brother was a cinematographer. And he went to school for a few years. I don't know how they got into it considering where we grew up, but somehow they found their way there. And he went to school for 2 years and he was like, I had saved all this money and I was going to go traveling and see the world and do all this fun stuff. And he's like, why don't you spend that money on a camera and a computer and come work with me? So yeah, I said yes. And then me, my sister and brother started a production company and we made a bunch of like extreme sports films. And that was kind of like, got me to like 19 or 20. That's the first 20 years.
Okay, thank you. About 7 years later, and by 7 years, I mean, starting when your life obviously began at age 20, you founded the Lab magazine, and you directed your debut film, In Their Skin, a powerful psychological thriller, which had its world premiere at Tribeca, not bad, and was acquired by IFC for international theatrical release. In Their Skin ultimately garnered praise from media outlets, from The Hollywood Reporter to The New York Times and Variety, which is not bad for a freshman project. So at age 20, your print and digital publications was distributed in over 25 countries and features conversations with Willem Dafoe, Britt Marling, Jeremy Renner, Sam Rockwell, David Fincher, Wes Anderson, Noam Chomsky, and other notables. And then at age 20, you're on a path to being a sought-after director. So why the switch from words to film? And how did In Your Skin get under your skin?
Well, it wasn't like on paper, it looks like a switch, but we were trying to make films through that whole time. And looking back, it sounds hilarious to say it, but we were making films through the whole time, but we were trying to get feature films off the ground. And me and my crew of friends that were making films together, we realized there's this like weird gray area of, you know, you need an actor to get money and you need money to get an actor. And we kept getting films that people loved and were at this part, but then there was like this loophole. And so we decided, I don't know how, looking back, it doesn't make any sense, but we decided we would start a magazine that would feature all these great actors of the world and find a way to talk to them and meet them. So it was actually a tool in many ways for us to get further into the film industry, but it was also, me and my partner were both photographers, so it was a chance to take photos and make fashion films and stuff like that. So it wasn't necessarily switch. It was like we had this big dream of having a magazine and a film company and all that, but the magazine world when we started was not in it. It was like 2010. Like most magazines were collapsing and dying. I don't know how we managed to raise money and start a magazine at that time, but we did, and we had a lot of fun along the way. And then In Their Skin just kind of came out of necessity in some ways. We had pitched a bunch of more art house indie drama films, and everyone was like, I really like you guys, but there's no way I'm giving you money to go make this film. Like, come back to me with a thriller or like a sci-fi or thriller idea. And so me and two of my friends went on a road trip and came up with this idea, and then it like came together so quick after that. And it was wild.
And then just 3 years later, now you would be about 30, your unique documentary style for high-profile companies such as MasterCard, Lululemon, Citibank, Nike, and Chevrolet landed you a nomination for the Young Directors Award at the 2015 Cannes Lion Festival. So why yet another switch? And yes, you just clarified that the magazine and the original film we were talking about were not a switch, but why what was apparently a switch this time sent you into the advertising world?
Well, filmmaking in general can be a very long, hard process and underpaid role. So I'm Canadian originally, and I had in my mind that I had to be in LA if I wanted to make in the film industry, and I need to get to Hollywood, and we need to be in the US. And one of our good friends was an actor there, and we'd go down and visit him, and we had this dream of it. And it was just from talking with people and that it was honest. The honest answer is it was the easiest way for us to get visas and go down there and work. And it turned out to be a great thing because we got to learn so much, and, we got these big budgets to go play with new cameras and make great connections. But it was almost a necessity, just a way for me to be, in Hollywood, which at the time I thought was really important.
Yeah, okay. And maybe at the time it was more important than it is today, but...
Yeah.
So then when and why did you decide to leave commercial work to create documentaries such as Between the Mountain and the Sky? And how did you come across the story?
Well, most of the commercials that I was doing were documentary style commercials. So that kind of really opened my mind up to the art form. And then the Lab magazine was also conversation interview based. So we were doing a lot of that, journalism and discussions. And it was just midway through my first kind of commercial stint, I met this amazing creative director, Libby Delena, and she now is what she's like, fairy godmother, we call her, to our children and one of our best friends. But at the time, she knew Maggie and she knew me, and she claims now that she had this vision that we were going to be together. But luckily, she never told us that up front, or else we probably would have been awkward and weird. But so yeah, she introduced me to Maggie the first time, and we met at an event, and it was just like just as friends, and we had a lot of fun. But she lived in Nepal, and I met Ravi, her son, at that time, and we had like a great weekend. But I lived in California, she lived in Nepal, and it was like hard to even keep in touch, even as friends. The next time I saw Maggie, she was in a much harder space. She had just lost her youngest son, Ravi, and so we spent. We came together then just as friends again, and I was just trying to, she came back to the U.S. to try to get back on her feet and, just get help to work through a loss like that. And I was just there as a friend trying to take her on adventures and talk with her and just, attempt to get her to smile And somewhere along the way, which I don't know why or how, we decided that we would film this process of like grief and what her family was going through. And yeah, it was one of the crazier decisions I've made in my life, because it just changed my life more than anything. Because now, 10 years later, we ended up filming for 6 years. I went back to Nepal with her, and we have 2 children of our own. And yeah, I just witnessed one of the most magical human experiences on earth, just seeing this group of, 40 plus children and Maggie and her team of 170 Nepali staff going through this intense emotional transformation. And then I found myself kind of dancing the line of, am I making a film or am I in the film? And it was a really hard experience, but it was also very rewarding, and it allowed me to be around people I loved for this last 10 years. So, yeah.
Great. Thank you. What a beautiful story. So back to being a little more academic, how would you sum up the goal of your documentary filmmaking in general, and specifically your mountain film premiere, Between the Mountain and the Sky?
That's a big question. I mean, I've been so caught up in just trying to make the film. I've been doing my best to not put too many expectations or goals on it. But I've been doing my best. And this is I think my biggest challenge to the whole thing was, obviously, I'm heavily involved. I'm not just some filmmaker that's looking from the outside. So it's been, I obviously want this film to be seen by as many people and touch as many hearts as I can, and just celebrate the strength of humanity and try to enjoy the process as much as I can. But I'm also just been trying to make it like a diary entry and make sure it's something that means something to me. And then I figured if I do that, hopefully more people will like it and enjoy it. But yes.
Yeah. So, but do you have a sort of more meta goal for your films in general? I understand the goal of Between the Mountain and the Sky, but in general, looking at your body of work, is there a theme that sort of rises to the top?
I mean, just what it means to be a family, I think, is a theme that just happened. This happened without me even thinking about it. The first film, In Their Skin, was a family going through something very similar, and it just serendipitously happened. It wasn't something I was looking for. But I think the theme of what it means to be a family is something that I love to explore. I don't know the reason behind it, but I've been kind of drawn into that. And then just also this last while, just the way the world is and humans in general, just like how do we find love and hope in these dark times? And I think both of the films I made were about that a bit. And I tried to come into this film in general. I was coming off making a bunch of big budget commercials where they're like, any camera you want, whatever you want, and you have a big crew of 80 people or whatever, huge crews, and they're not very intimate, and then they want you to come out of it with this intimate documentary. So I was just trying to keep this really small and intimate, and just worry more about the experience and the story that I was capturing rather than being massive and cinematic. But yeah, I don't know if I answered your question.
More or less. We'll move on. So your bios all say you're now living between Canada and Nepal. What does your wife's life, sorry, that was Freudian, what does your life look like now? Are you still in the business of making documentaries? Are you hard focused on Maggie's work? What's it all about now?
I mean, like I've said, the film itself has been my, it's almost been 10 years now. It's been my main focus. I have been making like through that, we've also put out a bunch of short film content for the charity, but that was just, mm-hmm. it's also just a nice way to, you have a camera crew over there and, in some ways you're like, hey, this film's not going to come out for 10 years, but if you come here, we can make this great little short film while you're here too. And it helps mm-hmm. them, it helps us. So I've been doing a bit of that, but then my big switch in the last year as this has been done is I want to make another narrative film. So I've been switching back into writing. We have a short film that we're shooting this summer, and then hopefully another feature back in Nepal the following year. But yeah, I mean, just naturally, we spend a lot of time in Nepal, and we live with, you know, 45 children, and we have two kids of our own. So a lot of energy and time goes in there. But mm-hmm. my day-to-day is, you know, I have an office there, and I'm focused on editing and writing, but mostly this film and just getting it out to the world.
Okay. Am I correct in thinking, I think I read this, actually, which is why I'm thinking it, that Maggie has touched hundreds of young people's lives, not just the 45 living with you now, but beyond that.
Yeah, the school itself, so they, in 2000, they've had a school since they started, but they've been building this dream school, which is like the greenest school in Nepal, and that launched in 2018, and 400 kids a year go through that, and they're all mm-hmm. underprivileged children from the community. It's all based on need. They're either orphans or have lost a parent or in a really hard position. So, I mean, just countless children through that. And then they also run a women's center there, which mm-hmm. I forget the numbers, but it's, you know, I believe 300 to 400 at least a year women go through that. Mm-hmm. And that was kind mm-hmm. of, that was kind of built out of, okay, we have this home and this school for orphan children, but how can we step back and stop this from happening? So they started to focus on helping women, empowering women to have their own jobs and be educated in that. And I think that's one of their big focuses. But yeah, I can't imagine the amount of people that they've inspired, her and Tope. And like Tope, her partner, he should get a lot of credit. He's a big part of the film too. He's from Nepal and he grew up there and he's an orphan himself. So
right.
The two of them have done it's pretty amazing what they've been able to accomplish over there, especially the early years with, you know, now they have a lot more support and, you know, they've won awards. So, you know, that's not what it's all about, but it helps them like get noticed and get donations and stuff. But early on, yeah. It's wild what they're able to do with just one or two, three, four, you know, a really small group of people. And the cool thing is that same group of like six or seven core people are still there together after, you know, since 2007. So it's coming on 20 years soon. So.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
To finish, what are you looking forward to most about visiting Telluride and premiering your Hearts project at Mountain Film?
Oh, it's hard. I've been so focused on finishing the film, I haven't thought about it too much, but just the idea of there's a lot of people who have supported us. There's people, you know, there's six or seven kids that have gone to school and moved to the U.S. that are in school. They're going to be there, and a bunch of our family and donors and supporters are all going to be there. So just having a big chunk of people together that are important to us and actually mm-hmm. showing the film for the first time is really exciting. And then honestly, one of the coolest parts about all this is that Maggie's only been to one film festival in her entire life, and that was Mountain Film a few years ago. And we happened to be there because really good friends of ours, they go every year and they take their kids, and they just love it. They're filmmakers and writers as well. They've had films there. And when we were there a few years ago, she just said, you know, like this would be my dream. If our film could premiere anywhere, it would be here. And then here we are living that dream out. So it's pretty cool in that sense.
That is wonderful. Thank you again, Jeremy. Yeah. This has been Susan V. Brock, Telluride Inside and Out, speaking with Jeremy Powell Regenball about his life and work, and specifically the film that will be premiering at Mountain Film over the Memorial Weekend, May 23rd to May 27th. That film is Between the Mountain and the Sky, a 10-year epic project. Jeremy, thanks so much for taking time out to talk with me.
Thank you so much for having me on here. I really appreciate it.
Me too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.